fifth Sunday was going to be a freelance Sunday. But since we last Sunday wasn't Sunday, and this Sunday is that Sunday, now is this Sunday's part four Sunday. Amen. I had a different plan. What I was going to do, I was going to make this Sunday, I was going to call it Reclamation Sunday. But I'm going to say that idea because it's really a good idea, Dr. Corbett, because it's a fifth Sunday, and I had a plan for what fifth Sunday was going to be, but I'm going to save it. I'm going to save it. Lord, say the same. Next Sunday is going to be the first Sunday in the month of February. And those of you who are aware of things, Eric, I know you know this one, and Trey, I know you know. But next Sunday is the Super Bowl. Now I'm pretty smart now, Crystal, and I keep up with stuff. I don't remember a whole lot of folk in here talking about they were Panther fans, Darren. I remember that. I remember that. Sister Ava, you a Panther fan? Okay, you count. And Brother Melvin? Okay. And then I don't remember a whole lot of folks saying they were Bronco fans. So here's what we're gonna do. Next Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, we're gonna wear our jerseys of our teams that didn't make it. Okay. We're gonna call it it'll be everybody in here gotta have some team stuff. Okay, if you got wear your team colors next Sunday. Because our team didn't make it, but we're going to all go home and watch the game, I guess. But next Sunday, everybody wears something that represents your team that didn't make it. And what my theme next Sunday is, I'm not there, but I'm still here. You'll see with the sermon, I'm not there, but I'm still here. In other words, you might not have made it to the Super Bowl, but you're still here. So next Sunday, Eric, get your Redskins stuff out. Trey, y'all come on around, Eagles, all y'all. Everybody got, if you don't have nothing, go online and buy something. But everybody, no suits, no tie, everybody, ladies, everybody got to have some kind of paraphernalia. You too, Crystal. Go buy some. You got money. Go. Everybody come with some team representation next Sunday. I'm not there, but I'm still here. That sermon is something I've been working on. I said, oh, it's work, especially as a Cowboy fan. Trust me, we're not there, but we're still here. Amen. Because everybody talking about going to Super Bowl. So next Sunday. And see, it would have fit right after Reclamation Sunday, which would have been this Sunday. We'll be all right. So next Sunday. Team colors. I'm not there, but I'm still here. All right. In the final offering, Deacon Walker of dealing with possibilities in problematic places, once again, I just want to lift up one verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and I want to just lift up the verse that has been, we've been working our way toward verse 9, really, in all three of those previous sermons, and we've hinted at it a couple of times, we poked at it a couple of times, but now, Maxine, we're going to finish the argument. He says, for there is a wide open door for a great work here, and many people are responding, but there are many who oppose me. In the New King James Version, it simply says this. He says, for a great door, and I like that rendering of it. He said, for a great door, a great and effective or effectual in some versions, door has opened to me. And there are many adversaries. In the Message Bible, it reads this way, a huge door of opportunity for good work has opened up here. There is also mushrooming opposition. Amen. You may rest. Again, we're going to deal with possibility in problematic places. Thank you so much. I don't have a lot of strength left, but I'll use what I got. By way, Eric, of the last introduction to the long series, it's been actually about 4 weeks that we spent here. I'll say this to you and pray that you can get a grip on it. I think it's universal, and I also think it's spiritually useful to understand that there are always problems. I was reading an article, some of you are history, Buffs. I was reading an article concerning the Challenger tragedy that happened in 1986, January. I was in Hawaii at the time, and I'll never forget that day. I pray that my mind remains faithful to me, Brother Beverly. I was in JCPenney because the time difference there is about 5 hours this time of the year. And I was in JCPenney paying on my JCPenney account and noticed that people were standing there watching the television. This is at the time when JCPenney still sold appliances, televisions, and stuff like that. And everybody was just fixed on the television. And again, I, like most Americans, had gotten so accustomed to the shuttle launches that it just wasn't a big deal anymore. And that's when I realized what had happened. And I, too, became fixed, standing there watching the video over and over and over. Well, I was reading an article, Lady Ava, where one of the chief engineers, a guy by the name of Coble, still feels like it was his fault. He still bears in his own mind the responsibility because he was an engineer and part of his responsibility was the O-rings. And as we all know, that the investigation revealed that it was the failure of one O-ring that initiated a series of events. And he felt as if there was more he could have done. Part of the article, he talks about how he went to the engineers and NASA and others, and they just wouldn't listen to him. His expertise was outweighed by NASA's desire to get this one off the ground. Some of us will remember they'd had a couple of setbacks and delays, and they never launched a shuttle under those atmospheric conditions. In other words, it was cold that day. And he said to them, listen, we've never tested those O-rings in this kind of weather. And one of the other engineers said, well, just the heat alone from the shuttle, the boosters, will make these rings, you know, expand like this. And he said, no, that's going to be a problem. Because if they don't expand in time and we have a leak, we're going to have a problem. And they said, you know, you're just overlooking this. You're pushing it. And his argument to this day, he's still alive, he's an older fella, is that he saw a problem when all they saw were possibilities. And that's how life really is, because most of us sitting in this room have probably had that argument on one side of the desk or the other, one side of the debate or the other, one side of the plus or the minus, when you saw a problem and everybody else in the room saw possibilities. And because some folk wanted to curry favor with the lead or the popular people, they stuck with possibility and ignored the problem. Stay with me. I think in the church, we are often, Pat, faced with the same argument. What Paul is saying here is beautiful, really, because Paul stands there and says, man, there is this door. There is all of this possibility. And before he calls for the choir and takes up an offering and they start jumping up and down, he said, but let's be honest. There's some problems. He says that as much as there are those who would affiliate themselves, there are also adversaries. I think Deacon Walker, that we might as well face the fact that in this ministry, as much as there are affiliates, there are adversaries. Everybody don't want what we want, because everybody can't see what we see. Everybody don't feel what we feel. And before we stand in the doorway again and try to convince ourselves that when the saints go marching in, what a day of rejoicing that shall be, we got to stop and face the fact that, yes, there's opportunity, but there's opposition. And what has happened to us, is that over the passage of time, and now stay with me, I can't holler as much as I want to, but James, what I want you to understand is that over the passage of time, our life experiences, stay with me, have taught us or in reality forced us to make adjustments and become resourceful when we should have been rejoicing. Stay with me. There are things that have happened even in the church that when we should have been celebrating and praising God, we had to make adjustments and become resourceful, which hindered our rejoicing. Life does that to you. Some of you in this room, let me see, Sandra, if I can help some of you. Some of you have heard this expression. Well, if life serves you lemons, make lemonade. That's forcing us to be resourceful. Some of us have heard the expression that simply says, you got to learn how to play the hand that you dealt. It makes you resourceful. What I'm saying is everybody in this room has had to deal with opposition. Everybody in this room done had a bad hand or two. And what life does, it teaches you, it forces you to either be resourceful or be run over and left behind. Many of us in this room have had to learn how to get up and dust ourselves off. Because folk ain't going to feel sorry for you but so long. And before long, it's so long, be gone. What happens to us, watch this now, because Paul says, oh yeah, there's this opportunity, but there's also opposition. And what that does, Sandra, it forces us to bring to our recollections, that's an old school word for remembering, to bring to our recollection what the Lord says, and that is that all things work together for the good. Y'all missed a free shout. Some of you are mad already in 2016 because your opposition is standing right there next to your opportunity. But what God is saying is take the opposition, because the opportunity is never outweighed by opposition. Y'all missed the shout. Because too many of y'all quit too fast. You walk away too soon. You resign before you even get your first paycheck. You walk around talking about a crown of glory and rewarding of the faithful, and you resign before you get your first paycheck. What happens to us is ultimately things are going to work out, but not always like you see. Okay, you're quiet, and I put a note here that said, well, that's still Bible. Because the reality for us is this. We start out every day with new possibilities, and we don't pay attention to it. Every day is a new day to do a great thing. Every day that you stand in the threshold of your living place, your apartment, your villa, your home, your condo, when you open that door, you open the door of opportunity. But you also open the door of opposition. And here's the real rub. It's on both sides of the threshold. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you don't have no idea what it took for me to get here. And look at another neighbor and tell him, you have no idea what I gotta go back home to. I think a whole lot of us have been duped, not by society, but by ourselves. What we have done is we have knitted, crocheted, and woven these cute little cocoons and comforters, places that we can hide out when we just don't want to fight no more. Places we can resort to or run to or take refuge in when life offers us a few too many challenges. And rather than press our way, we retreat and say, well, maybe God didn't mean for that to happen in this season. We would rather oftentimes blame God for the resistance as a clue or a hint that it's rest time, rather than say, God, I heard you. I know what I heard you say. I know what I felt. And whatever I got to fight through, that will be done. See, ain't no whole lot of folks shouting right there, Dr. Corbett. Ain't no whole lot of folks waving back with me them spiritual hands. Because what you do is you go to that cocoon. And you say, well, it's just not my season. Because if the Lord had intended it, there wouldn't be so many obstacles. Paul said, no, baby. As much as this door is wide open and there are opportunities, there is opposition. There are several things that Paul does, Reverend Muriel, and I want to help y'all to understand them, because my daughter said this the other day, and I took it and ran with it and put it in the sermon. She was talking about something with my wife, and because I'm the boss of my house, I get to listen to everybody's conversations. You know, I hear everything. And she said something to my wife, and but the part I caught was she said, you don't know, the struggle is real. And I heard that, and I not only heard her, but I saw what she did when she said that. She did this little thing and made this little face. You don't know, the struggle is real. Now, I don't know what the struggle was. I don't know who was in the struggle. I don't know if I was supposed to know or if I got something to do with it or nothing like that. But what I do know is it made me think of a sermon idea. And here's what I'm telling you. Inasmuch as the struggle is real, what that does is force us to look for real resolutions. Y'all ain't talking to me. The struggle is real. But the resolutions must be real as well. In other words, beloved of God, it's always going to be something. Yeah. Look at the name and say, I know that's right. But real struggles require real solutions. I don't know, you know, Deacon Walker, I don't know what your opposition is. For some people, can I pastoralize for a minute here? That's a new word I made up. I'm some of y'all opposition. That's all right. I'm all right with it. Some of y'all, as soon as I get up out of that chair, soon as I come around the corner, Lord. Some of y'all, as soon as you pull in the parking lot, see my car in my designated parking area. I thought they said he was on vacation. The struggle is real. Real struggles require real solutions. Some of you, the opposition is just coming to church, let alone being the church. No, just come. Just having to deal with tithe and offering, and how many more songs they going to do, and how much longer they going to talk, and how many more things we going to get involved in, how many times we going to do that cancer thing, how many times he going to mention, that's opposition. Here's what I need you to understand. Just because it's opposition to you does not give you the right to deny opportunity to somebody else. Nobody said you had to agree with everything we do. Paul says, well, here's this great door. And he said that there are, watch this, Dr. Corp, there are two things that has to happen. Paul identifies it. He says, there's some people that are for me, and there are people who are against me. And two things have to always be happening in this ministry that I need you to understand. Part of my responsibility in that door is to confirm some and convince others. Y'all missed the shout. Because some of you, all I need to do is say it, and you're like, amen, pastor, we down. That's the confirming part. The others of you who are sitting there with your arm folded and your head sprung up looking in the ceiling, admiring that beautiful paint job, is I got to convince you. For some of us, it's already resolved that we are going to be a part of this opportunity. But for those who are still refusing, the opposition is real. I don't care what they do. I don't care what they say. I don't care who say it. And somebody going to look at you one day and go, well, why do you go to church? Because if I stay home, I ain't got nobody to argue with. Paul said, it's right in the text. He said, I realize what's happening. He said, there's this opportunity, but there are those who oppose me. What they do not do, Dr. Dixon, is readily identify themselves. We were singing that song. Well, y'all started singing it. You know, if you're happy and you know. And some folk were sitting out there saying, I'm the opposition. You can't change me. Sing all you want. And I'm looking at you. Because if you're not taking advantage of the opportunity, you are the opposition. Some of you keep other folk from worshiping because they're watching you. Some of you keep folk from giving because they know how you give. And so he said, well, let me help you. Jess, song time. What I hear Paul saying, I'm about finished. What I hear Paul saying is three concerns and some sub-concerns, and we can go home. But the first thing I hear him saying is a quote from the Ephesian letter when he says to them, listen, the most important thing for you folk to do here at Ephesus is to know and understand what the Lord wants you to do. Okay, stay with me. Because everybody's got a doorway. Everybody's got an opportunity. But he says to the Ephesus church, chapter 5, verse 17, when you get a chance, he said, you've got to know and understand what the Lord wants you to do. And so the emotions made a song, Jess, that said, don't ask my neighbor, come to me. I'm saying don't ask your neighbor, ask God. Because some of y'all sit next to folk and signify and nudge and vote and proxy. Even in the middle of the preaching, in the middle of the announcements, in the middle of the praising, you're looking to see if other people will agree with you. Don't ask your neighbor. Ask God. Lord, what does this mean? Lord, how do I respond? Lord, what is my reasonable service? Because you can't spend the rest of your life in ministry asking other folk what they going to do. You going? You going to sign up? You going to give twice the offering today? You going to present a double tithe? You can't keep doing that. Because too many of y'all sitting by the wrong people. You're sitting with opposition and you don't even know it. Because people who are opposition minded are very calculating about how they give it away. People who are opposition minded often try to play neutral. They often look around to see before they say. And then they say based on what they see. Y'all will get that. Because, James, just like a little while ago, when I was saying, look at your neighbor, encourage your neighbor, some of y'all knew better than that. Some of y'all said, Reverend, I've been sitting over here a long time. I know not to look down this road. I know this crew here. So, Reverend, I'm just going to act like me and you vibing together because I know opposition is here. So rather than get my feelings hurt or lose my little jiggity moment, I'm just going to look at you. That's why when we had church conference, folk won't show up. That's why when we have Bible study, folk won't show up. Because opposition likes to play the game. Whereas opportunity likes to play two games. Y'all get that? Okay. So he says, come here. Jesus then says, knock and it shall be open. I like this one, Dr. Dixon, because there's a door frame to this. He said, and if you do that, I'm going to open it up for you. But here's the key, Dr. Corbett. It's one thing to knock. It's another thing to make sure you're knocking on the right door. You see, because a lot of us want to testify that we've knocked. But we have not tested where we knocked. Y'all ain't talking to me. So Paul says, well, you need to understand that the provision and the power and prophecy of the Lord is non-negotiable. Stay with me here. I'm about finished. Jesus says, knock, ask, seek. Those are non-negotiable. All you got to do is do it. Here you go. So somebody said, well, I did that. But did you knock on the right door? The emotions again say, don't ask your neighbor, come to me. Did you knock on the right door? And did you knock with the intention to deal with the opposition as well as the opportunity? Stay with me, because both of them are residing on either side of the threshold. It takes courage to knock, confidence to knock. It takes a sense of constitution to knock. Jesus says, and I heard him say it, he said, I'll stand here and knock, but you got to let me in. How many of you, when somebody knocks, ring your doorbell, say, who is it? That's opportunity and opposition at the same time. Because if who is it is somebody you don't want to deal with, you say, can you come back later? I'm kind of busy. Ain't got that's now. If it's somebody with opportunity, you say, "Oh, come on in." But here's the kick: you cannot get the answer till you ask the question. The biblical concept harmony says, "What meaneth these things?" Anybody ever asked the Lord that lately? Lord, what is going on in Brookville? What meaneth the... Listen, Paul says, it's a great and effective door, but there are adversaries. And he says, many. Okay, here we go. Understand three things. First of all, what you and I must deal with in possibility and problematic concerns is that the first thing you got to do is learn how to dig in for the duration. You can't just come to church on Sunday and shut down Sunday afternoon. You can't just get in the choir for the summer run and not want to commit through the fall. You can't just get into the relay for life and not understand life is a relay. You can't just be a part of the ministry because you get to be the chairman and not understand the commitment as a servant. Y'all ain't talking to me. Paul said, listen, this time I'm fighting for my life. But watch this, not just my life as Paul, but my life in Christ Jesus. There's where the rub comes in, Sister Odie, because a whole lot of us have learned how to live selfish but not sacrifice. Paul said, this thing ain't just about me no more. I'm fighting for my family. I'm standing here for my church. I'm standing here for my ministry. I'm standing here for everything that is anything. Because if I don't stand in this door, nothing in life matters. He said, I see it now. And if I can't fight now, I'll lose for the rest of my life. He said, everything I'm fighting for. And here it is, Rev. Muriel, some of us have never fought like that. Some of us have never fought for this church. Never fought for your pastor. Never fought for your family. Never fought for the ministry. Never fought for your life in Christ. You'll fight like the devil if somebody step on your shoes or say something to your child. That's one kind of fight. But Paul says, now I got to dig in for the duration. Because if I don't win this time, I may never win again. He said, I have come to this point. Notice what he says earlier. He said, I went by Macedonia. I'm going to swing over here. He said, but I got here and realize I got to dig in. It's right in the text. He said, maybe I can stay a while. Some of us are too casual in the church because we are driven by the clock rather than the Christ. Yeah. So some of us, I know what time it is. Some of us are already saying, well, it's almost 1 o'clock and there'll be time. No. The Christ clock says, tarry a while, stay a while, fight to the finish. Don't get in a hurry, because if you dig in, your deliverance is going to come. Some of us in the room have never made a decision. So what he said now is, he said, my decision leads to a greater determination. He said, because I want to come and stay a while. Watch this, Dr. Corbett. He said, I want to come and stay a while if the Lord will let me. Again, why? To confirm some of them and also to convince others. Some of y'all, if we were to take survey very quickly, some of y'all would vote instantaneously and we can move on. And some of y'all, it's going to take a while. I am convinced in the Lord that not everybody in the room is convinced. So Scott, don't take off for that. So Sandra, don't grade my paper harshly. But I'm convinced that some folk ain't convinced. That's why there are adversaries. There are adversaries, Deacon McKenzie, to us growing our finances and building a church. There are adversaries to us paving the parking lot. There are adversaries to us extending our ministries. And their adversarial vote is not necessarily by the advocacy of what they do, it's what they don't do. It's by the vacating of the principles and problematic issues. By them saying nothing, they're saying a whole lot. So we haven't convinced them. We haven't convinced folk that Relay for Life is not just about giving money to the Cancer Society, but giving hope to folk who got cancer. So he said, I made a decision that I have a greater determination. And he said, step one, watch this now, is regardless of the plan or my perceptions, I still need permission. It's good preaching right there. It's in the text. He said, oh, I want to come, but only if the Lord says I can. Nudge your neighbor and tell him your plan or perception does not supersede his permission. I know that's a lot for some of y'all to say, especially if your teeth ain't tight. You understand? He said, listen, it's right there. I'm hurrying. He said, regardless of what I plan or perceive as an opportunity for ministry, I still need the Lord's permission. Let me see if I can hurry along here. Can I get some folk who are willing to admit to me that had you gotten the Lord's permission, your life would be so different? Thank you. I appreciate y'all. Can I get some more folk now that you thought about it that will admit with me, acknowledge in this hour, that if you had waited on the Lord's permission, your life would be so different. You don't want to have to admit it, but I'm telling you now, Paul said, listen, this is a good idea. It's a great and effective door. You didn't hear the Lord say, no, Paul, it ain't. But he says, I need the Lord's permission. Too many of you all have renegated yourself right out of rich opportunities to bless the Lord. Because you saw it, you took off running, and you didn't wait for the Lord's permission. You married him because he had Denzel looks. You fell after her because she had Shaka Khan hips, but you didn't get the Lord's permission. Come on, you started a business. You took a job. You picked a university. You didn't get the Lord. It was a good idea. It had its merits, but you didn't have the Lord's permission. And then when you got in trouble, you tried to call on the Lord's provision. Lord, fix him. Lord, fix her. Lord, no, the Lord is saying, back up to when you didn't get my permission. See, we like to teach folk ill-advisedly, Dr. Corbett, about the permissive will of God. It's the perfect will of God that you want to stay under. Don't make God permissive. Y'all ain't clapping. Y'all ain't shouting. Thy will be done is perfect will of God. Not my will, but thy will. That's perfect will of God. And if Jesus says, if you stay in that, you got it going on. But then he said, I dig in for the duration. I make this decision of greater determination. And then he said this. He said, I need to understand that divine comes in three forms. Divine comes in opportunity, divine comes in order, and divine comes in obedience. I don't have time to preach those, Dr. Corbett. Take them down there to Canaan. You can have those. They're free. But then he says, please understand that I do know, because I've dug in and made my decision, that opposition is my opportunity. Here's the twist, Lady Eva, because what he says is, God, I realize something, that all of these things that are possible come with the potential to be poisonous. I realize that there are people who are standing around me now that will lift me up today, but will stab me in my back this afternoon. Come here, Jesus. Jesus said, oh, yeah, last Sunday it was Hosanna, but this Friday is crucify him. And what he says is, no matter how I know it may turn out, I've still got to go that way. Come on and talk back to me. He said, I know now that the door is open for great work, but there are also great works of opposition in line. Listen, all around this room now, minds are churning, ideas are rolling. People are thinking to themselves, well, I don't know, Reverend, but what I'm telling you now is, you've got to learn how to look at this differently going forward. Don't look at just opportunity, but look at opposition as your opportunity. In other words, you got to learn how to convince some folk, convert some folk, conform some folk, because everybody that's singing with you ain't necessarily going to stay with you. And so Paul said, if I'm going to be effective, I've got to come to the understanding that opposition, this is a free one here, Vicky, opposition is the breeder of courage. In other words, it's the folk that were against me that made me better by and by. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you don't have to agree with everything I say. You don't have to pat me on my back all the time. You ain't got the skin and grin and look me in my face and lie to me. Go ahead and tell me how you really feel about it. Because the fact of the matter is, for God I live and for God I'll die. Even if you don't agree with me, don't mean I'm not going to do it. Even if you don't walk with me, don't mean I'm not going to keep going. Even if you won't give me a cool drink of water, don't mean I'll die in a desert. But you've got to understand, beloved of God, that opportunity makes us stronger. It makes us bolder. It makes us more daring. And so Paul says, I do understand that courage is a rare breed among the saints. Why? Because he reminds us, he said, listen, in the midst of my ministry, Demas has departed from me. Barnabas got kind of funny on me. John Mark tried to get iffy with me, but I kept on pressing. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I may have to leave you, but that don't mean I lose you. Because the Bible says later on in the ministry, them brothers came back around and said, Paul, you were right all along. But I want to help you understand, beloved of God, as I get ready to leave you alone, you don't always have to be right, but you ought to always be righteous. I hear him saying, listen, I've come to the place now where what I'm trying to get done for the Lord, I can do all things. I'm trying to help somebody now, Jesse, learn how to put the scriptures together, that the scriptures not just be your celebration, but be your confirmation. You got to stop living your life by cliche theology and begin to understand that what Paul is saying is that I can do all things. Even though there is opposition, I still see opportunity. In other words, just because we don't have it don't mean we can't go get it. Somewhere out there beneath the pale moonlight, y'all ain't talking to me. Come here, Fible. I feel your help coming. He said, listen, somebody's thinking about me and loving me tonight. Listen, I'm not out here all by myself. Every now and then I feel like don't nobody care about me. I feel like don't nobody want what I want. I feel like I'm alone and idle and I'm the only one still trying. But trust in this, beloved of God. There is some help somewhere. You got to realize that your help is on the way. Look at your name and say, neighbor, the Bible says that I will look to the hills from which cometh my help. And my help, look at another name, say, neighbor, I feel my help coming. My help cometh from the Lord, who is the maker of heaven and earth. He is the Lord strong and mighty. Look at another name and say, neighbor, I've lost some friends. I've lost some fans. I've even lost my family. But if God be for me, I feel better about this thing. If God be for me, Paul said, listen, I've come to the conclusion today that even though opposition is here, I still see opportunity. Every now and then you got to look to the left or to the right. It doesn't mean you got to waver or go lose your mind, but God will remind us sometime that what I see ain't all that's there. Come here, Elijah, you and your manservant. He's standing in a place where warfare is upon him. The manservant is saying, no, we don't have a chance. But Elijah says, God be merciful unto him and let him see what he can't see. Look at somebody and tell him, you ought to see what you can't see. Because there are more for us than there are against us. I wish I had one witness here that can tell somebody on your pew, I may not always agree with you, but that doesn't mean I'm against you. I may not always stand up when you stand up, but that doesn't mean I'm going to sit down on you. He said, listen, I've got to move myself through the door of opportunity and yet realize that opposition is on my trail. Jesus said in the Gospel of John that we've got to quickly carry out the tasks that are assigned to us by the one who sent us. Why? Because night is coming and then no one can work. Look at the neighbor and say, neighbor, we've got to learn how to work while we've got the light of day. The God we serve is a daylight God. He says you got to put your hands to the plow and you can't look back. You got to realize that the struggle is real, but a real struggle requires a real Savior. That's why the Lord says, call on me and I will make a way. Call on me when you're in trouble and I'll be your helper. Call on me when your bridge is going down, because I'll be your bridge. Call on me when the well runs dry, because I am the well. Call on me when there's no bread on the table, because I am the bread of life. Call on me. Call on me. I just need to know right now, is there anybody here that's ever called on the Lord? Don't play with me now. I just need somebody that can tell somebody that I tried him for myself and I found out that the Lord is all right. I tried him for myself when I was losing my way, just about lost my mind, my feet almost slip, but I call on the Lord. Anybody ever call on the Lord and he picked me up? He turned me around. He told me to run on and see what the end shall be. Paul said, I made up my mind, having done all to stand, that I'm going to stand some more. Having made up my mind that I've got an assignment to do and an acknowledgement to make, I'm going to keep on pressing. Having made up my mind, I'll always be abounding in the work of the Lord. There's a song we used to sing that said, pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Look at your name and say, name them. It's not just on Sunday, but new heights I'm gaining every day. Every day I'm gaining on Monday, I'm gaining on Tuesday, I'm gaining on Wednesday, I'm gaining on Thursday, I'm gaining on Friday, I'm gaining on Saturday, but Sunday morning, didn't he rise? Look at your name and say, neighbor, each and every day I'm pressing my mark. I'm staking my claim that God be glorified. I've made up my mind. My heart is fixed. I've come too far to turn back now. Through it all, I've learned how to trust in him. Is there anybody here that's made up your mind that through it all, I said through it all, that you're going all the way? Anybody going all the way in Jesus? Mary's little baby, all the way in the Rose of Sharon, all the way in the Savior. Jesus is my rock. Jesus is my lamb. Jesus is my peace. I'm going all the way. Can you say yeah? Say yeah. I promise him that I promise him that I. It's personal, it's progressive, it's pointed, that I will serve him. I'll serve him in the morning, I'll serve him in the noonday, I'll serve him all night long. Anybody gonna serve him? Can you say, neighbor, I'm gonna serve the Lord. Serve him with gladness. Serve him in my pain.
serve him in our sorrow. Serve him when I'm rich. Serve him when I'm poor. Serve him. Serve him. Anybody gonna serve him? Say, take me, Lord. Here am I. Send me.
I'm going to step it up. He said, not only will I steady my stance, I'm going to step up my stride, but I'm going to serve like a soldier. He said, I realize that warfare requires warriors. Don't miss that. You can't engage in warfare if you're not a warrior. Chickens need not apply. Warfare requires warriors. What are you saying? I'm saying you can't put on battle garments if you don't have the battle spirit. This is warfare. That's what opposition does. Opposition brings out our best game. I got up the other morning, watched Serena Williams. 3 o'clock in the morning, I set my alarm and got my DVR ready. Started out that first game, boy, and she just, whoa, whoa. 1-0. Next game, and it went back and forth. And I'm saying, wait a minute. It wasn't supposed to be like this. According to the prognosticator, Larry, she's supposed to drop this young lady and be done with her in no time at all. But see, as much as Serena saw her as an opportunity, that girl saw her as opposition. And opposition takes advantage of opportunities. Y'all missed it. They interviewed Serena and said, listen, and she said, listen, I'm not a robot. I played my best game, maybe. But she came out to win, too. And I had to play her just like she had to play me. Y'all missing it. Don't you think just because you're a Christian, you're going to be undefeated and no opposition? It's the opposition that makes you better. The devil is going to try. But for every ball hit to your side of the net, you need to have a strategy, a plan to hit it back. And the volleys may go on for some time, but you cannot be a warrior if you don't understand warfare. And if you don't understand warfare, you'll never be a warrior. God is calling for this church to raise up warriors. There's a door of opportunity for us. It's a big door. But there are many who oppose us. Let's all stand together. Try to be unified on our way out today. I know you're tired. I know you're ready to go, and I'm ready for you to go. Amen. Y'all never be able to accuse me of not being a realist. I said last week, I was sitting down, I didn't get to come to church Sunday. I really wanted to. It took me a while before I called a television station and put our little code in. I was thinking to myself, well, come on, Lord. You know, Deacon Davis and I have a little running agreement. If I can get off the mountain to get to church, then folk ought to come to church. Well, I tried, Deacon Davis, and I couldn't get off the mountain. That's the first time I ever got 2 cars stuck in the driveway. I knew then, okay, we want to stop this foolishness right here. But I was so frustrated that I didn't get to go to church. And the Holy Spirit said to me, son, it's not just going to church. It's being the church. And what I'm saying to you, if this is what God is calling us to now, to stop just coming to church, but it's time now to be the church. And there is opposition to that, even in your own household. I hear the Lord saying, you're going to have to dig in for the duration. You're going to have to make a decision to be greater and more determined. You're going to have to understand now that the doing must get done. That was the third piece. We can't keep casting vision and not doing anything with it, even though there's opposition. Dick McKenzie, we already know the gives and the not gives. It's not that the have and have nots. It's the gives and the won't gives. Because everybody got. Amen. And everybody don't have the same, but it's just a matter of who will and who won't. Because God is faithful. Everybody in here is the recipient of the seed sown by the kingdom of God. He promised Abraham, and he won't renege on that promise. Did he not? He promised him. And so what I say to you is, and you got to go. What I say to you is this. Carpe diem. Seize the day. Let's learn that vision casting is one day at a time. We don't need to sit around and do 90 days, 180 days. I mean, we need to do that, but let's not get enamored with the fact that we've got these long-range plans. Let's look at our nows. And opposition is in the now, but opportunity is there. Every one of you is favored by God. Every one of you. Every one of you. Young lady, I don't know who you really are, but you caught my eye earlier. And I just want to tell you that God has something awesome for you in this opportunity. I don't know you. I really don't. But I'm telling you, when you caught my eye earlier, and they'll tell you, I don't like to, you know, I'm not trying to tell him somebody's prophet or nothing like that. But he told me to remind you that there is opposition, but there is opportunity. And I'm not saying the rest of y'all don't have nothing. So don't go, well, I wish it was me. It is you, but it's special for her today. It really is. She came and the Lord said, don't let her leave without this blessing. Tell her there is. And I'm going to tell you now. I'm telling you now. Don't let opposition fool you. Because the devil like to tell you, well, you know, if the Lord was really with it, it wouldn't be like this. Yes, yes, it is. Yes, it is. That's why we see you. You are there to make us aware of the fact that greater is he that is in me. That's enough to run on right there for a week. All I got to remember is greater is he that is in me. Forget about the opposition. That young lady is sitting there somewhere in France, somewhere Australia rather, that big old trophy. Because she fought through the opposition. If she had listened to everybody else, she'd have never showed up. She said, I'm going out there and do my best. I know Serena better than me. She said it in her interview. She said, I didn't think I had a chance, but I made up my mind to give it my best. And this day, I played my best tennis and beat the best. Because when you beat the best, you are the best for that day. In Greater Brookville, what the Lord is saying to us is, let's just decide each day to be our best. To give our best, to serve our best, to love our best. And then at the end of the day, get ourselves together for the next day. We're going to fight in small chunks. Claim small victories. To God be the glory. If you're here today and you've not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, I invite you to come. I invite you to come. Because this is your opportunity. You made it today. You've come today that you would know that Jesus is Lord. We've talked about it in Christian Academy time and time again that we need to understand to be trained, to be taught, to be reaffirmed in who we believe and what we believe and why we believe and when we believe and where we were when we began to believe. And this is your opportunity. I am convinced of God that we have a great ministry of teaching and we can help you. Don't just give your life to Christ so that you can say you joined the church. Give your life to Christ and be his church. He saved you. He died. They were singing it so beautifully. I heard it in the office. I said, I got to go out there and catch up to minister in that mindset because he gave his life for us. Never forget the cross of Calvary. But don't just remember the cross and not have a relationship with the cross. He died for you too. If you haven't given your life to Christ, come. Our doors are open to Christian discipleship in Christ Jesus. If you'll come today and accept him. He said, I stand at the door and knock. If you'll just let me in. Anybody remember the day you let him in? What a day that was. That's our testimony to share with other people. To tell them that old song they used to sing in the church I grew up in. Tell me, how did you feel when you come out the wilderness? That's our experience. Our expectations in the Lord were uncertain because we really did not know. But oh, what we've come to know in Christ. There's a young man, a young woman, somebody's child, somebody's husband, somebody's wife. You ought to come to Jesus. Don't let me be your opposition. Don't let me be the reason why you walk away today. Get over me. Get over yourself. Get past the people around you. This is about Jesus. I have not a heaven nor hell for any of you. I'm trying my best to get in. My pastor said something years ago, Vicky. It makes me laugh every time I think about it. But he, you know, they were talking about life and better life. And he said, listen, I don't have to die to get my first ride in a Cadillac. And for years, I had to figure that thing out. But because people always talk about what he bought. Every year, he'd buy a new Cadillac. And basically, what he's saying is, listen, in order to experience one of the finer things in life, I don't have to die. And I'm telling you today, you don't have to die to get to know him. You ought to get to know him while you live. So indeed, the joy of the Lord will be your strength. You ought to come today. I'm telling you now that your best life is in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you that right now. I know it to be so. Man, if I had not come down that aisle, what would have come of me? I truly believe today that someone needs a Savior. Well, I know everybody needs one, but today is somebody's special rebirth day. If you'll come today, you'll come. And lastly, I'll say this. I wouldn't leave without having a conversation with the Lord. Maybe you have not the courage to come out in front of these people. But if you'll catch a few moments before you leave, I'll be right around that corner. If you just come and say, Pastor, I really wanted to come down the aisle, but can I come personally? Can I just come? Yeah, be glad to have you. Just because the worship service ends, the invitation is not. You can come whosoever will anytime. You can catch me in Kroger if you want to. And we'll take your confession right there. And the Lord will say yes. Second thing I want to say to you is don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Pray one for the other. For your neighbor, your friends. Pray. There are families all around us that are broken. Sons and daughters are losing their way. This young lady down in Blacksburg, 13 years old, young man convinced her to climb out of a window and run away from even a medication. And we can all imagine that this is going to be tragic. They've arrested this young man, but you think to yourself, it ain't going to happen in my house. If your son or daughter has a computer, a phone, social networking, yes, they can. Them folk on Facebook ain't everybody's friend. And I read some of y'all posts, and I'm telling you again, stop posting some things on Facebook about where you're going to be and who's going to be with you and what club y'all going to be in and how many days you're going to be gone. Stop doing that. There are predators out there. And you say, well, they're not my friend. They're mutual friends, which mutual friends can see some things. Stop doing that. And don't befriend everybody who grin at you. No. You protect your children. That young lady may never be seen again. I'm praying for her family. Doesn't matter if she's a white girl. She could be green for them. That's somebody's child. And it could happen to any of us. You just never know. So don't stop praying. The situation is happening with these mosquitoes now, this Zika virus. I thought about all of my young ladies in my church who someday plan to be mothers. Some of you think, well, I haven't been to Brazil. You don't have to. They already said it's in Virginia. There are about 27 states already. These viruses, Dr. Corbett will tell you, viruses travel quickly. You know how many people get off an airplane in Lynchburg every day that came through Charlotte or Atlanta or New York or Los Angeles, and they shook hands and smiled and sneezed and burped on each other? If you ever ride an airplane, you know how close you are to people? You ever get on an airplane and wind up sitting by somebody you don't want to sit by, and then they start coughing and sneezing, and you be looking at them like, you have got to be kidding. And then they go, how you doing? I'm Bob. That's how Ebola, Salmonella, whooping cough. So you got to keep praying. Pray for your neighbors, your brothers and sisters. Pray. Don't stop praying. And then lastly, I want to say to you that our doors are open to Christian discipleship. If you want to be a part of our family here at Greater Brookville Church, our doors are open to you, that you'll come and be a part of us, that we might be a part of you. I really want us to become a full quality of life ministry, that whatever's happening in your life or your life or your life or your life is a part of our life. Because if you're hungry, then I'm hungry too, and we got to make sure you get fed. If you're thirsty, we all ought to get a drink. If you're without, we ought to make sure. Sister Price was talking about a ministry opportunity. Just giving out gloves, a hat, a mittens. Go home right now. How many of you have extra stuff like that? That's your ministry. That's your opportunity. Go home, gather that stuff up, drive over to the Salvation Army or the Goodwill and say, listen, I want to donate this stuff. You don't need it. You got 7 pairs of gloves. You ain't got but 2 hands. You don't need a pair for every day of the week. Donate some quality of life. So, you know, Pastor, I felt led. And not every good is going to be well spoken of. That's okay. That's the opposition. So in closing, because I've already got a cold I can't get over, I ain't going to ask you to touch nobody. We're just going to sanitize ourselves in prayer right now and just lift our hands right where we are. Don't touch nobody. I would not that you feel like I do right now. I'm hot, I'm cold, I'm wet, I'm dry. I want to lift your hands. I want you to lift your hands. And Father, in the name of Jesus, the hands of this people are lifted unto you twofold. We lift our hands first, Lord, to release the spirit of opposition. For when our visions were cast, our mission, our ministries were laid before us, we might not have been in the spirit of agreement. We might not have understood all things. We might not have seen things, didn't feel it. So we're releasing opposition, even in my marriage, on my job, Yes, in my church, in my choir, the usher ministry, other areas that I've operated, I'm releasing opposition. It may be symbolic to the people, but it's significant to me because I know what I'm releasing. They don't know. They have no idea. For some of them standing around about me, I'm releasing opposition to them because I didn't like who was in charge. I wouldn't get on the team. I didn't like what they said, so I wouldn't listen anymore. I'm releasing opposition. In fact, God, I may have to lift my hands higher as a more significant statement of my release. Because if I only lift them partially, I'm only partially releasing. So I fully surrender. And then very quickly, Lord, I want to say to you that I'm lifting my hands to receive the opportunity. I am saying, as Isaiah declared, here am I, Lord, send me. Use me, Lord, in ministry. Maybe it's Young Life. Maybe it's clothing ministry. Maybe it's Relay for Life. Maybe it's in healthy living. Maybe it's in Promised Life. Maybe it's a part of greater destination, greater destiny. But Lord, I want to be used. Everybody else has used me. I've been used before, Lord. I don't need me fooling myself. I've been used by lovers, friends, strangers, co-workers, supervisors. I've decided today that I'm going to allow myself to be used by you. And it may be the best decision I ever make in my life. So my hands are lifted for opportunity. Here am I. Use me. Now, Lord, this opportunity may create opposition in my family. My wife may not understand. My husband may not understand. Cousin, my sister. They may say things like, you just done sold out. You, every time I turn around, yeah, well, let them say it, God. This between me and you. I'm making my vow to you that I want to be used. I want you to work me, Lord. I want you to make me a laborer in the vineyard of your service. And Lord, today, I say yes. I thank you, God, that you've allowed me to live long enough to make an informed decision about opportunity as well as a greater understanding of opposition. I do now know that even though things are difficult, it doesn't mean denial. I understand that my husband or my wife, my children may not get it. But I do. And I'm all right with it. I know that I may stand alone for a season, but not forever. Because there is a Macedonian spirit in so many others, they will come alongside and help me. And Lord, even I may come alongside to help them. But when we are all together on one accord, how wonderful, how beautiful, how attractive, how conforming that will be. Please, God, again, forgive me of my sins and have mercy upon me. I turn from this place, but never your presence. I'm digging in. I'm more determined. Thy will be done. Give me safe passage to my destinations, my desires, even my recreations. For, Lord, you are with me. David simply declared that the Lord is my shepherd. My feet are ordered, my steps, my mind. I surrender it all unto you. Give us this day. Touch the sick among us, the weary, the frustrated, and God, give them strength. Revive us again. Heal those who need healing. Strengthen those who are weak and tired. Thy will be done. And the children of God said amen, amen, and amen. Just wave it, people. Don't touch nobody. Sick people among us. just say, hey, bye. God bless you, and we'll see you again real soon.